This morning, we're jumping into a brand new sermon series on the book of Esther. And in fact, next week, we're going to be talking about the superhero Esther, because she was pretty awesome. And today, we're going to be looking through the book at where we are. But I feel like when we think about the hero within, that first of all, if you have God in you, that every single person in this room should be a hero right where God has placed them to be. Some roles, maybe from a leadership or a church standpoint, like we just heard from Jason Hammett, they were here in the first service. Some roles of JBQ, you go on the stage or you get in the video to be up in the front. You know what? There are a lot of people in JBQ who they don't ever go on the stage. Some of them are very thankful. You know, they don't ever. And in fact, they come 4 times a year and they keep score, or they're a judge, or they help with the actual competition. And none of you would ever know who they are. In fact, you will never know who they are, but they sit among you. There's roles that are right up front, and there's roles that maybe you never even know. But the hero within is when we let God lead us and guide us to do the little thing, the big thing, the medium thing, and when it comes in kingdom currency, it's all the same thing, if we're obedient to God. And when I think about the book of Esther, one group that we're not really going to mention a lot today that I think is important, and we'll go through the story, but is in the middle, there's a group of people that are asked to fast and to pray. And those people, just a quick little portion, I believe just might be the most important group of people in the entire book of Esther, because Esther and the Jews needed an absolute miracle. And what did they do to find that miracle? They asked people to fast and to pray. And I believe literally thousands of people fasted and prayed. And what happened? The king, in the end, we're going to see, good wins. Jesus wins. God shows up. And there's a miracle that takes place. So often, the heroes among us may or may not be the one that we see the most in the front, or that is the most visible, but it's the people that you just are faithful, doing what God has called you to do. And that may be when you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning to pray for people rather than just complain about being up at 3 o'clock in the morning, or whatever it might be in your life. To be faithful is what it's all about. That's the hero. That's being a hero. And this morning, we're going to look at this series and the hero within and really talk about how it all starts with God. God is the hero, if you didn't know. He's the hero. He's the boss of the story. He's putting all things into motion, and we just get to line up with him and say yes to him and see how he moves and what he does in our lives. I think on that, this book, the Bible, we have to realize it's not about you, it's not about me, it wasn't about Esther. But it's about God, the creator and savior of the world. He is the main character. He is the hero. If things are going great, we can say, come on. And when things are maybe going a little less, you know what? He's still with us. He's still guiding us if we will open our eyes and look and see and hear him. I believe that in the book of Esther, we see 3 things that we're going to talk about today. And the first one is this, that God always has insiders. I don't know about you, but in my life, I love it when all of a sudden there's people around me who kind of reinforce or make happen or guide to something that happens that I didn't have anything to do with, but because of an insider deal almost, I get to take and be a part of the reward of what God has done. When I think about parenting, if you're a parent or you've ever been a parent, you love it when you send your kids to Royal Rangers or to girls' ministries, and then I love it when I get a text. It's like, hey, Jordan, today he read really well. He's doing so good. He this, this, and this. I see Roger smiling. Sometime he'll text us. It's like, thank you. And what you're pouring into my boy, guess what? It's like having an insider that when we talk at home, it's reinforced by Roger. It's reinforced by person after person after person. And in our lives, sometimes we don't realize that God is doing some inside trading, inside work that we never see, or maybe that we rarely get to see. But God is always moving. In this story, it's an amazing story, and I would encourage each one of you to spend time in Esther this week. Listen to it. You can listen to it in about 20 to 30 minutes, depending how fast you listen. You can read it in about the same. You can really just let it become part of you. Maybe listen or read it a couple times. See what God would share. But the king here is having a party that is lasting an incredibly long amount of time. And they are drunk. They're not of their right mind. They're not doing the right things. I think it's a good realization. The Bible says, do not be drunk with wine. Esther, right here, would be a good reason why. You do stupid things when you are drunk. That's why we're like, just avoid it. That's my personal plan. But they're in this place, and the king invites or commands that the queen, Vashti, come and basically perform. He wants to show off his wife. Most of the things that I read and understand are that this wasn't just like, hey, come sit with me on like at the throne, but it was more maybe in a sexual nature, in a showing off in an inappropriate way. And Queen Vashti says, I am not going to go and show myself off for you and your guys, which I hope that's what we all should do, right? No way. No way. But you know what happens to Vashti? She's done. She's gone. The people and the king, who was very impressionable, made an example of her as someone who disobeyed her husband, the king, and therefore had to go away. In the sphere of this, the only thing that you could do that would make any sense is to have a bachelor or a bachelorette sort of a situation, basically. They get all these girls. They line them up. They take care of them. They have beauty treatments for months. They get to a place where they're as beautiful as they could be. And then they're basically paraded before the king. And the king chooses, of all people, Esther, a Jewish girl, just a commoner. Nothing special about her from her status or from who she is, except for the fact that she is beautiful. And she's taken to the palace. She becomes the queen in an amazing turn of events. And in a moment when you don't even know what's going to happen throughout the story, God is already working a plan to save his people. God is already doing something that goes beyond our understanding. When we think about the characters, you've got Esther. You've got Mordecai. Mordecai is Esther's cousin. And is her guardian. It took her in as one of his own. When I read, I think, and I look, and I say, he had to be a proud man. He refuses. There's no way that he is going to bow down to Haman. Haman is someone who's high up in the government system. And the king has said that you have to bow down, and Mordecai says, no way am I going to do that. But as we look at the insider, we see that God begins to work in Mordecai's life. And in Esther 21 through 23, it says, in those days, as Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate, Bigthan and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs who guarded the threshold, became angry and sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. And this came to the knowledge of Mordecai, and he told it to Queen Esther, and Esther told the king in the name of Mordecai. As we begin to see Mordecai show up here in this book, what do we see? Mordecai saves the king's life. Mordecai is able, at least in knowledge and in a special way, to be elevated just a bit by what God allowed him to hear and to experience so that he could save the king. And right after this, in chapter 3, we see that maybe it is a good thing, because Haman, we read about in verses 1 and 2, it says, after these things, King Ahasuerus promoted Haman, the Agagite, the son of Hammedatha, and advanced him and set his throne above all the officials who were with him. And all the king's servants who were at the king's gate bowed down and paid homage to Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai did not bow down or pay homage. There's a thing that began to happen. There's something that all of a sudden there was a need for an insider, because Mordecai would not bow down to Haman. Mordecai would not do this thing, and it caused a problem. It caused a problem where Haman then wanted to kill Mordecai. And how could he do it any better than to kill the Jewish people? Haman would be a Hitler-like character, that he wanted to get rid of a whole race of people, a whole group of people, because he didn't think they were as good or to the level of who they were. God puts insiders into positions for just times like when a plot would come to come against you, or in this case, to come against the Jewish people. In chapter 4, verses 13 through 17, we see that Mordecai comes and asks Esther, you have to go say something to your husband, the king. You have to go do something. You've got to stand up for your people. And Esther said, I can't do that. There's no way, because if she went into the king without an invitation, if anybody did, if he didn't raise his scepter to her, then that is a death penalty to her. She said, I haven't been brought in over 30 days. I have not been into his courts. But Mordecai gives a challenge. Mordecai in verse 13 says, do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Mordecai is elevated by what he hears. Esther is elevated because of situation, because of her beauty to be the queen, to be able to go before the king. And I believe that God always has kingdom insiders. And in fact, I believe that you are one of those insiders if you follow Jesus, if you're obedient to his voice, if you listen to what he has to say, because he wants to use you to dispel darkness and throw light on your world. But the question is, what do we do with the opportunities that come up before us? Mordecai had to be willing to speak up when the guys wanted to kill the king. Esther now has to be willing to say, yes, I will speak up. I will go risk my life for my people. And sometimes in our life, it's simple little things that we have to do. I mentioned that Esther asked the people to pray, to fast. Sometimes we need to be the prayer support for our missionaries around the world. That's what God calls us to do, to pray and to believe and to intercede, to let God use you in prayer to touch someone around the world. Maybe today it's prayer, but for a son or a daughter who does not know the Lord, you are the insider being obedient to do what God has called you to do. And you know what else? There's times when you are the one in need and you need an insider around you to lift you up, to encourage you, to be there when you have a problem or a situation, to show up in might and power. And you know what? I believe God uses you to bless others, and he uses others to bless you. There's insiders in your life, and you get to be insiders as we follow and walk with Jesus. When I think about this and I think about how God works and how he here uses someone else and uses a whole story to get to a place, I think it's also important to realize that God will work mysteriously. Anybody in the room, maybe you've experienced in the past a moment where you did not know God was at work until it was over, but you didn't see his hand at work, or maybe you didn't even know until this day. I love the fact that someday we're going to get to heaven, and I think we're going to get to see what God was doing and how he was working and the mysterious ways and plans of our God. There's something powerful about how God moves and what God does. As we continue on through this story, Esther goes before the king. Esther asks for a meeting with Haman and the king just to do dinner, to basically wine and dine the king and Haman. And in the exact same moment that this is taking place, Haman comes up with a plan of his own. Haman says, now is the time. We're going to take out Mordecai. We're going to get rid of him. Haman comes up with a whole thing. And the people around Haman, they are just fine with it. They are happy to let things happen. They're happy to see there be a problem in Mordecai's life. In fact, in verse 14 of chapter 5, it says, then his wife Zeresh and all his friends said to him, let a gallows 50 cubits high be made, and in the morning tell the king to have Mordecai hanged upon it. Then go joyfully with the king to the feast. And guess what? This idea, it pleased Haman, and he had the gallows made. So the gallows is being made. It is being prepared. And that very night, in the next verses, we see something really crazy happen. In the middle of the night, the king is woke up. Once again, what do we do when we're woke up in the middle of the night? I encourage prayer. I encourage sometimes getting work done if you can't fall asleep. Complaining doesn't do any good. But the king here, he goes before his people and he wants to read about and be told about the good things that have happened, or the book of memorable deeds. And so guess what they begin to read? They begin to read of Mordecai saving his life, of doing that. And the king asks, well, what has happened? What has been done for Mordecai? Nothing has been done for Mordecai. The king, all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, as he was woken up, the same night that Haman is building a gallows to kill Mordecai, is reminded of what God did through Mordecai. And so he says in chapter 6, verse 4, and the king said, who is in the court? Now Haman had just entered the outer court of the king's palace to speak to the king about having Mordecai hanged on the gallows that he had prepared. But when he comes into the king's palace, when he comes in before him, the king is so excited about Mordecai that he asks Haman, what should we do for someone who has blessed the king? What should we do for someone who has saved the king? What should we do for someone that is honored and should be honored in a powerful way? Haman says, this must be about me. I'm going to say all the good stuff. I'm going to say, we need to get the royal robe and the horse. We need to be gone through the city and let everybody bow down to them. Let everybody praise that person. And the king says, what a great idea. And says in verse 10, hurry, take the robes and the horse, as you have said, and do so to Mordecai the Jew, who sits at the king's gate. Leave out nothing that you have mentioned. God works really mysteriously. On the night the gallows being built, the king wakes up. He happens to have them read the story of Mordecai, how Mordecai saved him. Haman comes in to ask to kill Mordecai, and the king asks him to go honor him, take him through town with the royal gear, make it a big festive deal. And Haman, can you imagine the anger that had to be just welled up within him? Can you just imagine the emotion? I'm never going to try to get somebody killed, but I can be honest, I've been angry a time or two in my life. But to go from being angry, thinking that I'm going to get rid of my worst enemy, to now having to take him around and lead him on the king's horse, woo! I just can't imagine. God works mysteriously. You never would have written it. You never would have put it together. And I believe God is and does these same things in your life and my life. And so often we don't see it, so often we'll never see it, because we don't have the word on the other side telling us what all God did. But when we're obedient and we stand before him, our mysterious God is working on our behalf, and the people around us are working. And in fact, maybe one of these nights in the middle of the night when you were woken up, it's not just about what you drank or, you know, having too much Dr. Pepper right before bed, or, you know, eating a pizza that didn't sit well, but it's God asking you to accomplish something that you would never, ever know, except he is God, and you just say yes to him. So when I'm in a place I don't want to be, what do we do? Lord, what do I need to learn? What do I need to say? What do I need to pray? What is it that you're calling me to do right here in the middle of victory and in the middle of what feels like defeat? What do I do when I'm frustrated? And what do I do when things are all good? And I pray that our answer is simply to say yes. God, I will say yes to you every single time, because you work mysteriously, and all I know is I have to say yes. And when I say yes, anything is possible with you. God will work in mysterious, sometimes silent, and spiritual ways to bring about his purposes. And I believe he's doing it right now. In fact, I believe there's somebody, I've just felt in my spirit this week, that someone's struggling, you don't understand, you don't know what to do. You can't really give up, so that's not an option, but you would if you could. And I want you to know that I believe that God is here this morning. This word is for you. He's working. Be obedient. Continue to be faithful. And in our day, in our age, we like the microwave. We love it when the microwave pops on and a minute, 30 seconds later, our dinner's done. We like it. And we like that in our life with problems and situations. And you know what I find in the Bible? that most of the time, there are many years between what God speaks and what God does. Many times there are, well, I don't want to go decades, but sometimes decades between a mountaintop experience and another mountaintop experience. And in my life, I'm not speaking decades over anybody, but I'm saying we have to be patient to let God do what God does. This book is not in a 3-week period. That would be pretty crazy. Thousands of years. And we have to understand that if God takes a few weeks or a few months to see what we want to have happen, that's okay. He's working and we have to trust him. We've got to rely on him and let God do what God does and be our hero. That's the third today, is that God is the real hero. God is the real hero. The king and Haman, they went in to feast with Queen Esther. And on the second day, as they were drinking wine after the feast, the king again said to Esther, "What is your wish? Queen Esther, it shall be granted you. And what is your request? Even as to half of my kingdom, it shall be granted to you." Now, this is a pretty good moment. From where we just were, from not knowing if I could go before the king, to now having a couple of dinners, wining and dying the king. It's just a great situation. You feel like you've got it all under control. And she goes with boldness in chapter 7, verse 3. "Then Queen Esther answered, 'If I have found favor in your sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be granted me for my wish and my people for my request. For we have been sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be killed, and to be annihilated.'" It gets to a place where we see the hand of God working. We begin to understand that God is working on her behalf. God has worked through these prayers, through the fasting that took place, that Mordecai had been able to speak the truth, that God is simply on the throne, even when it seems like it's a little rough and we're not going to make it. God continues to work. The king is not overly happy to hear about this plot. The king is not overly happy. And we begin to look, and he goes to try to take his time. But then in verse 9, one of the eunuchs in attendance on the king said, "Moreover, the gallows that Haman has prepared for Mordecai, whose word saved the king," that insider deal right there, "is standing at Haman's house 50 cubits high." And the king said, "Hang him on that." So they hanged him on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then the wrath of the king abated. I believe that God simply worked his plan in an absolutely amazing way. God put it together. He made it happen. He got the story to the moment where he could be the star and where all you could say is, "Wow, God, you are so good how you work. You are so great how you move and how you show yourself." God's the real hero. Whether we believe it or not, he's been working in your life the whole time. He's working on your behalf right now. When we think of the book of Esther, something that I think is interesting is there's praying and there's fasting. God is never mentioned in the book of Esther. It's kind of an interesting book, how it goes. And you know, as I've been praying and thinking, I think so often our lives resemble the book of Esther, that we just live and we do our thing. And we may come to church on a Sunday morning, we might worship, but when we leave the doors of the church, we don't really think about what God's doing. We don't really talk about what God's doing. We may not even mention the name of God. And God is reminding me that it's time for his church to understand what he's doing. It's time for us to understand he's moving behind the scenes. It's time for us to realize that he's the hero of our story. And when we begin to live like God is the hero of our story when we leave the church, then all of a sudden he can do amazing things. Miracles that we never thought possible can happen in our life. Esther, a peasant girl from a land just because they were captured, becomes the queen and saves the Jewish people. It's God. Only God can do these things. And today I'm asking you, what has God done that you've not given him glory for? What has God done that you haven't even thought about how he moved or how he put all the pieces together? What is it that God has done that today we can say, "Lord, I give you glory. I give you praise. I'm beginning to realize that you put these plans and these moments into action." Maybe it's because it's been rough. It's been hard. There's things that have been difficult. And is it possible that even in those difficulties, today that he would reveal himself, that you would not be where you are today. You would not be in the situation you are today. You wouldn't have the blessing of God like you have today if you were not willing to walk through the things of your life and then willing to accept him and walk in him and be obedient to his voice when it was easy, which is great, but when it's hard, when I don't understand. And for those that today you're struggling, you are in a place where you need God. You need him to show up. Maybe you need somebody around you to show up. It's time to say yes to him. It's time, and I believe this week God has a special word for some people. It could happen today, but I just feel in my spirit, if you'll get in the word of God, if you'll let him have time outside of these walls, he wants to speak to you. He wants to give direction to you. He wants to guide you. He wants to make things new in your life. But it's about saying, Lord, I'm not going to keep your name out of my life. I'm going to start talking about you. I encourage you to be bold when you're talking to friends, when you're talking to family. Start talking about the things that God is doing in your life. And they might be, that's a little weird. They might say it's a little weird, or they might not like it. Guess what? Who really cares? Let people know what God is doing. And I believe the more we speak of him, and the more we look for him, and the more we give him opportunity, the more we're going to see the miraculous work of God in our life. And there's no better place to be than where he is and where he moves and with him as the hero of our story. It is time to step up and align your life with God's purposes. Respond to his activity. Open your eyes to the ways he's been weaving your life together and trust him entirely with your present situation and your eternal destiny. This morning, I believe there's a group of people that maybe you've never given your life to Jesus. Jesus is the best, our creator, our savior. All he wants is relationship with you. He wants to help you be in a place where we don't sin. And what is that? That's where we hurt ourselves and others. That's where we mess things up in the world. God wants to walk with you and help you and encourage you. And all we have to be willing to do is to repent of our sins, to turn from our wicked ways, to do our best to honor God, to make him Lord of our life. There's nothing that is better than that. Heaven, in fact, the Bible says, rejoices when one person gives their life to Jesus. I believe there's some of those, and also today, those that you need God to show up. You need him to become and to see him as the hero of your story. You don't have the answers. You don't know what to do. Well, guess what? You don't have to know what to do. You've just got to be willing to say yes when he speaks. And today, I believe God has a challenge for some folks just to say yes, to say yes. And before we close today, I want to give that opportunity that if you've never given your life to Jesus, just to say yes to Jesus. If you're online today, I encourage you, if that's you, and you say, I want to give my heart to Jesus, maybe in the comments, just put a hand raised today. And if you're in the place today, I want to give you an opportunity to outwardly say, that's me. I want to give my life to Jesus. And then we will pray together. Because there's something about being bold, just saying, that's me, by a raised hand that lets the people around you know what you're doing. And I believe we get to cheer you on and celebrate with you. I love it. It's so good. If you're online, there's no better choice. And can we pray together as a church congregation? Can we just thank the Lord for that? And let's offer him our lives one more time. So as a church, would you repeat after me? Dear Jesus, we love you and we thank you for being our God. And this morning, I give you my life. I turn from my sin. I repent of it. And I want to come to you. Be the Lord of my life and take me into the future you have for me. Help me to look different this week than last and to honor you with everything I am. It's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's give those a hand. Come on. Nothing better than that. That's what we are all about, to see one more person come to know Jesus. Come on. And secondly, I just want to pray a prayer of blessing over each of you that are in the room today, that you will go, you will experience God, you will hear his heart on things, that you will see him as your hero, and that maybe this week your eyes will be open just a little bit to that mysterious work he's doing in your life, in your situations right where you are. So, Lord, we thank you for this church. I pray that you would bless them, that you would encourage them, that this week, Lord, would you be the hero in our life? Would you be the hero in our story? And that means in a supernatural way, helping us do what you've called us to do. So, Lord, this morning and this week, for those that need to hear something, they need a direction from you. Lord, I pray they would hear you, they would experience your word. Lord, how you work mysteriously. Lord, that they would see that and be able to say yes to you and yes to what you have for them. And Lord, as a church this week, I pray that we would be your hands and your feet. Lord, that as there's always insiders, God, Lord, that we would be your insiders this week. God, we would be those that would make a difference in the lives of those around us, that we would pray when we need to pray. We would act when we would need to act. We would speak when it's time to speak. And God, because of that, people would be encouraged, people would be uplifted and led towards you, and that people would come into relationship with you, Jesus. Lord, we are so thankful for how you move. We're so thankful for what you do. And we ask you, God, to bless this church, bless these people, and let us make a difference, Lord. As Mordecai, as Esther did, Lord, back in this story, Lord, we pray we would this week in our world. We thank you, we praise you, and we worship you. It's in your holy and precious name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Thank you so much for being here. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you talk about. Savor the presence of Jesus. Have a great week.